first project, correct?
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
Yeah, and what that was like, which is so precious, you know, like that's so lovely.
Bring your mic down a little bit, Donna, yep. Towards you.
Yes. Okay, like this?
Yeah.
Is that better?
That's way better. Thank you.
Beautiful. And then maybe we talk about, like, because this is for Black culture, for yeah. my show Black Culture, I love talking about just like who you are as a person and, you know, how that's shaped your art and
sure.
where you've come from, like yeah. what you come do. Yeah. Cool. And just like maybe it, like half an hour if you have time. Just yeah, however the conversation flows.
yeah.
Okay. Lovely. And I'll intro it and then.
Wait there, let me check one thing though.
You're so fine.
I'm just checking to make sure. If it's half an hour, I'll just check and make sure my nephew's already gone or not.
That's so fine.
Or whether he needs a lift down to the ferry.
That's okay.
I know he's all locked up. No, he's gone. We've got all the time in the world.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we won't steal too much of it because I know you're a busy man.
It's not even stolen. I gave it to you.
Unlike, no.
We'll pay rent.
That's good. Okay, good. Well, that's lovely. Okay, I'll record. I'll start recording. Okay.
You're right there, Sienna.
Okay.
Okay, in 3, 2.
Namiri bookmark, Narakoyakoya, Sienna Mayador Mari Stubbs. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's show, Triple A's Let's Talk Black Culture. You're joined here with Sienna Mayador Mari Stubbs. And before I introduce our very exciting guest, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we are recording, the Yagara and Turrbal people, and acknowledge that these lands were never ceded, and that teaching and learning and sharing has gone on forever until now and will continue. But now we have our very special guest, Kwanda Muka, artist and man, Wesley Enoch. Welcome, Wesley.
Thanks, Sienna. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited that you've joined us on the show because you've got such exciting projects going on, and one this week, exclusive, in Maganjin, Brisbane.
Yeah.
But before we go on to chat about that, would you be able to introduce yourself? Who are you? Where do you come from? Who's your mob? What's made you who you are?
Well, I'm literally sitting in my kitchen on Minjiriba, North Stradbroke Island, where I live, where I also come from, where my father's family come from, which is Quandamooka people, but Noongee clan, so more Mookumpan, Moreton Island and North Stradbroke.
Mm.
And my grandmother's people, my father's mother's people, come from up near the Cape, Kanju people from that way, as well as a whole mix of everything else. I don't know, like, we all got a bit of mix in us, don't we?
I know that story.
My Filipino great-great-grandfather and my other great-great-grandfather from Rotuma Island in the South Pacific, as well as everything else. And my mother's side of the family, they're all kind of Irish, English. But in fact, I've got a great-grandmother who's Danish and a great-grandfather who's Spanish on that side of the family too. So it's a big mix, as always.
Exactly.
And I grew up here, here on Stradi, but then we moved off the island when I was quite young and we moved to Woodridge.
Oh, there you go.
Where I grew up for most of my life, going to Woodridge Primary School, Woodridge High School. And I grew up in and around, you know, that Brisbane area, and studied drama and everything here. So it's so for me, I've come and gone and done lots of different things around the country and the world, but it's really lovely to be back home, back on Stradi, back in growing trees and kind of actually, as I look out over just across the road, there's a big kangaroo sitting down, kind of eating the grass over
Stop
there.
Stop it! So, yeah, Stop that's it! I'm so jealous. I just love that. You know, that story, because it's something that I, you know, I feel like that's going to be my story, is,
you go out and you see the world, but then you always return back home. Could you?
Well, and the pull of home is so great. I even found when I was living in Paris for a while, I found that I actually I found that I was telling stories about Strathroch Island even then. Mm. But there's something about the further you go away from where you come from, the more, the spirit kind of reaches out to kind of stay connected. Mm. And so there's something about that which I think is very important. And no matter where I go, a lot of the writing that I've done in my life as a playwright, it's been mostly stories that I think really need to be told, that are from a perspective of family and connection to place. And then when I'm directing shows, I'm often trying to tell the stories that are either the neglected or oppressed stories of Mobutu, to make sure that they're getting heard. And the older I get, and I'm pretty old now, but the older I get, the more I realize my job is to make sure that the next generation and their storytelling is really strong and they feel supported. So that's what I'm doing.
Absolutely. And I guess that leads on to that story of visiting, when you were at over on those places, you were a visitor and you did your part. You say hello, you learn the language, you integrate yourself with the people over there when you were in Paris and all the places you've been. But that was a story that wasn't told here. I guess...
And you try to be respectful. I mean, that's the thing that I get now in this country where you go, I know we have a history, a very, very long history that not everyone can remember, and that's all right, but they can learn. Mm. And it's how when you visit somebody else's country, somebody else's land, you are respectful and you're thoughtful. And it's when people are disrespectful that I get really upset for me. Mm. I go, why can't you show respect to people here? Why is this... Why do you think this is the way you need to act? When people at the Welcome to Country at that Anzac Day earlier this year, where people were heckling the Welcome to Country, and you go, you're just being willful. You don't understand what Welcome to Country is. You should educate yourself. Mm-hmm. But no, they say, you can't welcome me to my own country. Okay. You don't even understand. And so it's when people are willfully disrespectful and don't want to learn, that's the hardest thing to deal with, to be honest. And what I love about the plays that I do, and The Visitors being one of them, is it's trying to say to people, actually, we come from a very respectful culture that is trying to respect and connect you in, and how do we kind of do that together is very important too. But anyway, the play, The Visitors. the listeners going, what's this play about then?
Yes, can you share us?
I shall. So The Visitors is a reimagining of a gathering of elders or, tribal clan representatives who are meeting on the banks of Sydney Harbour on 1788, watching the first fleet come into Sydney Harbour. Mm. And they have to make a decision. Should they welcome these visitors or should they show them force and scare them off? And they debate this and they're saying, but our protocol is that we welcome visitors because they come and they go, they trade, they do all the things that they need to, and then they go on their way because the pull of your own country is too great. You can never be away from your own country for very long. So these people must be on their way to where they belong. And so there's a real kind of clash of cultures because as we know, the history tells us that they came and they stayed.
Yeah.
But this mob at the time, before the arrival of the First Fleet, are sovereign, sovereign, empowered blackfellas who are saying, no, we shouldn't bend our protocols just because these mob are coming. Mm. We need to kind of treat them in the way that... And it's interesting, the history says that in the early days of the colony in Sydney, there was a lot of interaction between the blackfellas and the convicts and the officers. And Arthur Phillip, who was the governor of the colony at the time, writes a lot in his diaries about the interaction. And people know stories of Barangaroo and Bennelong Colby, these black fellows who were the people who were trying to connect and do all the proper protocols with them, and how in the end the great disrespect came from lots of different ways, from illness, from frontier wars, from dispossession, from stealing foods, you know, more food than they needed. And this idea of this beginning point, if you think about it, the 26th of January, 1788, you know, the day of this connection point, what did it look like and how did we enact our protocols at the time?
Yes. And you know, you see this, I feel like it's important that we've tried to retell this history, and we want this story being told in schools, or, you know, through mainstream media, and people are trying to yell and share this story. It's hard to reach the greater general population. And so I feel like the way in doing this through your art, you can reach out and touch these people. How do you feel you do that, and why do you think it's through this medium that it works a little more? I don't know.
Well, look, I think it's interesting to look at moments in history. Not to say that the politicians and the people who are activists and stuff don't get things done. They absolutely do. But often it's the sports people and the artists who go beyond just the human rights conversations, and we enter into a discussion of winning hearts and minds, you know, because theatre, in this case anyway, has a strong sense of discussion, debate. It's got drama in it, so it's about going the back and forward of ideas. People can engage with it in a very open, friendly way. And that sometimes, you know, we need the marching down the streets, but we also need our poets and our writers and our artists and our actors and our singers to actually go that further line and say, actually, now you're listening, listen to these ideas, listen to these stories. That sometimes you read things in a newspaper, that's how old I am, you know, in a newspaper or online, and you go, oh, look, I don't know. But when you sit in a play or you listen to a song, you know, when you think about Uncle Archie's song, you know, Took the Children Away, how powerful that was, because we understood the storytelling of that song. We also understood that the feeling of what it's like to be taken, and as Uncle Archie did, you know, God bless him, you know, may he rest in peace. But that song is such a powerful anthem because it moves us beyond just the recognition of the issue to the feeling of the issue. And sports people can do that too, because we understand that they're good at something, that they're sports people. And when Nicky Winmar lifts up his shirt and points to his black skin and he says, I'm proud of this, there's a moment where we can all go, yes, we're all proud about being Aboriginal in this case, or Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander in this case. We are proud of that, and that you can't shut us down. Or when Adam Goods, you know, calls out racism and says that young girl needs to be educated by her elders, help her, and no good, they pick on him. But sports people and artists are often at the forefront of acceptability, because the general population are moved, can recognize achievement in these areas where they may not actually understand the political understanding of things. But having said all that, we all work together, you know, political activism and arts and sport, we all work together to make sure that we can change the hearts and minds of a country that needs to open their hearts and minds.
Absolutely. That just takes me back to this past weekend where I went and saw Isaac Drandrick's Dear Son, and with Wanaga and all of those amazing artists. Yeah. And it really shifts you. And there was something about sitting in that room. I was maybe one of the I didn't look hard enough, I guess, but one of the only mob there. But the rest of them were all of these non-Indigenous people. And to watch and see the reactions of how they received that play
was just so, it just reminds you that that's how important this art is, you know. And
well, and that play, which was based on the book by Thomas Mayo called Dear Son, which is a series of, let's call them letters, a series of letters from sons to their fathers, fathers to their sons, this idea of the intergenerational relationship, that comes out of this kind of demonizing of Aboriginal fathers that happened, oh goodness, a few years ago now,
yes,
where, you know, that that fathers were seen as absent or abusive or all these kind of things.
Yeah.
And saying, no, there is deep love, deep love for sons. And that play, that the beautiful moment, it's finished now, it's in Adelaide this week.
Yes.
That, and at the end, there's this beautiful moment where each of the performers talks about their relationship with their father or their son or their child, and this wonderful sense of going, yes, we can play these roles, but we're also human beings.
And
interesting enough, The Visitors, which we're talking about, this play, is written by Jane Harrison.
Yes.
And I first worked with Jane in 1993 when she was working on a play called Stolen. Now, that play's gone on to do so many different things and tour the world and all that stuff.
Mm.
But at the time, in the 90s, there was not much. There was Uncle Archie's Song, Took the Children Away, that was coming through in the mid-90s. But this was before the Bringing Them Home report, which was this Royal Commission into stolen generations, basically. And it was fascinating working with Jane, and she was talking to a lot of community members, and she was writing their stories, and she wrote this play. And similar to Dear Son, it feels like it's everybody's story.
Mm.
And at the very end of that, we did something very similar, which was that each of the actors got to stand up and tell their own story about connection and belief in each other, and how the audience kind of went, oh, we understood stolen generations from a distance. We understood that that's what happened. But when you see and experience Aboriginal people on stage telling their story, and it's their story, they're not just pretending to be somebody else, that's when it really hits people too.
Truly. And I guess that makes me think of these moments where we are in a cultural shift. You know, that was a few years ago, and now today I feel like there's a feeling myself I'm experiencing where it's, you're grasping at something and it's almost losing it. And I feel like we need to ground ourselves and ground, you know, our nation, because, you know, there's a feeling of hopelessness that you can almost, you get.
Well, it's interesting, like this play, it was first performed, well, this production of it anyway, was first performed at the Sydney Opera House. And the closing night of this show at the Sydney Opera House was the night of the referendum in 23, where the actors went on stage not knowing the outcome and came off stage realizing that, you know, 60-something percent.
That's just given me chills.
Yeah, and they were going, and there were tears afterwards going, what does this mean to be doing this play where we're trying to be respectful and thoughtful and provide this sense of welcome? All those who are in the audience, I think, would have voted yes. I think they were very supportive already.
Mm.
But, and in reflection, I was talking to people going, did we need more storytelling? Did we need more kind of connections? The 67 referendum took them a good 10 more years, really, 10 or more years of talking to people, going around the country and talking to people. Did we need more of that? And did we rely on social media to get the message across? Now, lots of people had lots of opinions about The Voice, and I totally understand that. But did we understand enough about what it meant? And it's interesting doing a play like this, The Visitors, which is definitely talking about what that relationship could and should be right from the very beginning. What did it need to be then so that we're not in the situation we are now? And it's a complex kind of world, because I imagine the listener out there now, you know, there would have been people who voted no because they don't want to be in the Constitution. There would have been people who voted no because they they thought, oh, we should wait for treaty. Mm. There's so many different things there.
Yeah.
That I understand.
Yeah.
But in the end, what did we gain? Because we're, especially in Queensland at the moment, there's a lot of, we're losing a lot of ground at the moment.
Absolutely.
And I worry for that too.
Yeah. And I think it's easy to feel, regardless of how you feel of the outcome of that, you know, that was a moment in history that will go down in history, and the flow-on effect of what that decision has brought, and, you know, especially for, you know, all the different areas around the nation.
And I say that because, you know, like, there was a whole lot of an attack on welcomes to country at the last election.
Yes, yes.
You know, saying, oh, we should stop doing them.
Yeah.
They're a waste of money. You go, what? They're hardly anything. Honestly. You hardly spend any money on it. Stop it. some of these politicians spend more money having lunch.
Yes, yes.
They do that. But also in Queensland at the moment where there's the conversation about removing acknowledgements of country from letterheads, And you start to go,
and further than that it goes on and on and on. But
yeah.
I think the thing is that it's led to a cultural shift where we are being closed off and not even being welcome to the table. Or not that we want to be, but it's a cultural shift. And I think it's people like you and artists like you who are bringing that back and, you know, creating art and creating stories that are important to tell regardless of where we're at, you know.
Agreed. And that thing about the welcome to the table. No. People have got to learn that we own the table.
Yes.
It's actually our table. You know, just because you're sitting there because we welcomed you to mm-hmm. our table and no good, you think it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down.
Mm.
Calm down, people. Mm. You know, not that that's ever worked, but there's this constant sense too.
It's that story, and it goes back to language.
Yes.
How we are phrasing things, you know, and how I'm learning to phrase things as a young one coming up, because, you know, it's easy to feel hopeless in this chapter of life, but it's people like you, it's people like, you know, the strong ones in our community, and especially as a visitor in Maganjin, Brisbane, you know, seeing how these mob here have remained strong throughout their history, that you are reminded that you can't just give up, you can't just roll over, you still show up, you still use your voice, and you do what you can to hold each other and hold community. And
I had a journalist who asked me, she's saying, you know, you're telling these stories, Wesley, but, you know, you're only telling them to the people who already agree with you. You need to go out and talk to the people who disagree with you. And I go, hey, yes, look, the invitation's there. Anyone who disagrees with me, they're actually not listening to you, Sienna, at the moment. those who disagree, they're always welcome. But those who want to learn, those who want to stay open, these plays can strengthen you, you know?
Mm.
A play like The Visitors is a play, and all of Clancestry, though, I mean, I should say this week and next week,
absolutely.
Clancestry, there's, you know, Bangarra's coming up, there's a whole lot of shows that's how you strengthen your spirit, is that you go, you sit amongst people and you feel the energy of that positivity and that kind of sense of exploration. And I really want to encourage people that if you're feeling a little alone, a little kind of dispossessed, a little disempowered, the best thing to do is to go to a play, go to an art gallery, go to a sporting event where black fellas are there and feel the energy, because we're an incredibly positive mob, I think.
Mm. How do you feel that positivity when you are starting to feel, you know, worn down by the stories that you're directing or the stories that you're writing? You know, it's important to write those stories and tell those stories, but how do you reconnect and heal that spirit of yours?
Well, for me, I go look at the next generation. You know, go cuddle a baby.
Because if you can hold a baby, you can think beyond your own lifetime. And I look at my lifetime now, and I was born in 1969, and the changes that have happened for my family, in particular in terms of education, in terms of opportunities to travel, all of these things have happened that my parents' generation never really got. You know, my father finished school at the age of 10 so he could go work for his family. And my grandfather's generation was just trying to stay alive, you know. I'm seeing that there's this intergenerational project. So if you're feeling down, go pick up a baby, hold a baby, and imagine what their life will be like when you're gone. Because that's the way we've got to think. We've got to stop thinking about these political cycles of every 4 years. And that's what's great about arts and culture, you know, in your family too. The arts and culture we have been handed down to us over multiple generations, thousands of years. And if we can think beyond ourselves, number one, we will value life, you know. And I know there's so much death in our communities in terms of people who can't see the future and take their own life and terrible things. And and if you're feeling like that, please seek help. Please seek help. Don't find that you don't need a permanent solution for what is a temporary problem. You know, seek help. There's help out there for you. But I think go hold a baby, because it just, it makes... It makes you look at a tree growing differently, you know. It makes you think about old people differently, you know. It makes you empathetic. And that's the great thing about theatre for me, is that you get to be in somebody else's shoes for that half an hour or an hour or whatever long it is. You know, you get to be somebody else and see somebody else's story, and that helps you grow in yourself.
I think that's so beautiful to remind us of those intergenerational, you know, woven connections, because we truly are intergenerational as a people. And I think that's what something that we do best. It makes me think of my nephews and you know, all the family back home. You know, there's great grandchildren that are existing at the same time as, you know, family, and it's important to think of them. You know, we can't give up, because we have to keep the story going for them, you know.
Well, and look, and can I just say, the breeding program is going pretty well at the moment. When you think that there are more young people, more people under the age of 30 than there are over the age of 30 in the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, it says something about, number one, infant mortality rates have really changed. There's a real sense of people kind of seeing a future and having children. And, you know, not that I've had kids, but having kids in your life are very important. So, Sienna, when you want to join the breeding program, you go right ahead and know that everyone's going to support you whenever that happens.
It's a little bit scary when you think of the world that we're in, but it does remind you that we are stronger as a people, and lending that knowledge on to them. Are there any final thoughts in your head or in your heart that you feel like you want to be heard? You know, you can talk about the play, or you could talk about, you know, all of that, but is there something that you feel for audiences when they see the play, or, you know, just the last feelings that you want heard, because your voice is being heard, and it's your time to be listened to.
You're deadly. Hey, look, you know, my time to be listened to is coming to an end in my life too, and I really want to strengthen the voices of the next generation, and you are a great representation of that. And I feel that the feelings I have for people is, you know, through all of the heartache in our lives as Aboriginal Australians, through all of the trauma, and through all of the attacks on us and our culture, but still we love, you know.
we as a community love each other, we love our families, we love our culture, we love our land, we love each other. And I remember Stan Grant in his latest book, Murray Young, talks very strongly about this kind of love, this deep spiritual love for each other. And I think that, you know, we need to act out that love through little acts of generosity, of care for each other, of forgiveness of ourselves and forgiveness of others if there's been transgressions. And we also have to find a way, and this is the hard thing, to love the people who have oppressed us and give them forgiveness, because without that, we can't go forward. It's hard, don't get me wrong. I don't think it's an easy thing. Many people will be going, I don't have to love those bastards. But that's the thing that we need to do. That's the great love that has been taught to me, is that we must keep loving each other to get through. We need to hold our family really tight.
It's love is definitely a feeling that you feel all through your body. It's not just a word, and it can feel, it can heal you almost, I think.
Agreed.
When you do feel that overwhelming emotion of energy in your body, when you do love, I feel like it can block out all of the negative, the hurting of your body. And so when you do have opportunities to love, love your babies, love your family, love your nephews and your nieces, I think, and your neighbor, you know, reach out and connect with that. And that's Black culture.
I love you, Wesley. You, and just think you're brilliant. So all strength to you, my love.
All strength to you. I can't wait to hug you one day. Hopefully, come in, and let's grab a coffee or something.
Let's do that. All right, love.
Lovely, Ma. You've been listening to Let's Talk, AAA's Let's Talk Black Culture. I hope you had a special time here today, Wesley. And everyone, please do what you can to come and watch the visitors at QPAC from tonight, Wednesday, 23rd of July, to Saturday, the 26th of July. Do what you can. Get in there. I hope I can come in and get there. But thank you, everyone. Namayalala. We'll see you next week for another episode of Let's Talk Black Culture. Namah.